Welcome to the Without Limits podcast, where we break through barriers, revealing the keys to living an abundant life. Now, here are your hosts, Mark and Anne-Marie.
Welcome back to another episode of Without Limits podcast. We're so happy that you've chosen to spend time with us today because we're going to introduce you to an amazing guest, Cindy Little. I just want to start by telling you a little bit about Cindy before we hear her incredible story of persistence and perseverance. Cindy is the CEO of Health to Wealth Incorporated. And as a young girl growing up in a military family, she always had a dream of jumping out of planes. Well, this dream was fulfilled and she ended up in a military career and fulfilled her dream of jumping out of planes and taking a parachute course and having an incredible, incredible life. So her story really through her perseverance and persistence to fulfill a dream, she's had an incredible career and she learned it was okay to listen to her intuition, to take risks and pivot into different paths over the years, while still maintaining her passion to help others with health. From a military medic to a personal trainer to a professional network marketer with a wellness company, she's been able to fulfill her motto in life, prepare and live life. So prepare today to meet an incredible woman, Cindy Little. So we're welcoming Cindy to the studio today. So Welcome. We're so glad you're here.
Well, thank you for having me, Anne-Marie and Mark. I'm excited about today.
Excellent. Excellent.
Cindy, we're going to discuss perseverance today. But before we get to that, what does living a life without limits mean to you?
That's a great question because that's how I pretty much lived my life when I left home with $50 in my pocket to join the army. Wow. I wanted to live that life, no life like it, like the commercials used to say. And I really didn't want to go to university. I really wanted to leave home and be independent. And I did that by joining the military. And one of the main things I wanted to do was jump out of planes. Military planes. And I guess that would be a life without limits. I mean, how many people out there really want to jump out of a plane?
Or good, want to.
Right. Good point. Yeah. Because every girl grows up and says, what do you want to be when you grow up? I want to jump Parachute. Out of a plane.
Yeah. That's well, amazing. I think what led into it was I was an Army cadet for 6 years. I grew up in Saskatchewan and in Calgary. My dad was in the military and, two of my brothers actually were in Army cadets as well. So all of us really wanted to join the Army. My two brothers and myself joined the Army. And so being in Army cadets for 6 years, like I just loved what I did. I went to the Arctic Circle. I hiked around the Arctic Circle when I was 16. Wow. I earned a trip to Germany when I was 17 and hiked the mountains with the German Airborne in Germany when I was 17. Like who gets to do that sort of right. stuff? Like I was so like passionate and excited and I got to the top rank as a female cadet. And I thought, you know what? I am so passionate about this. I need to join the Army. And my dad would not sign the papers for me to jump out of a plane when I was a kid, like when I was 18. I was so mad. I said, I'm going to join the Army so I can piss you off so I can jump out of planes.
Wow.
That's incredible.
I may not have done it because I wanted to piss him off, but right. I really wanted to do it. And I just couldn't understand why a dad wouldn't sign paperwork for a daughter to jump out of a plane at 18.
Right. But now as a parent, you probably know why.
I wonder what his reasoning was.
However, my daughter actually jumped out of a plane. She, at 18, actually, I think it was on her 18th birthday, she did skydiving. And the look on her face, because there was a GoPro on, and the look on her face, the excitement, it brought me back to when I was younger. And I was 23 when I jumped out of planes. And mind you, the parachutes were different with the military versus skydiving, completely different thing. But the fact that she did it, I was so excited for her. I can't wait for her to ride motorcycles like me.
Oh, that's incredible. So where did that perseverance, where did it come from and how did it bubble up? Because I think this, what you're sharing is it's more than just, you know, deciding here's my goal and I'm going to go do it. It sounds like it's coming from a deep place within.
That's a good question. I think it's because I was a middle child with two brothers on either side of me. And wow. I'm growing up with a sergeant major as a dad. We had a pretty strict life, and I always aimed for something higher and better. And I think I just wanted something exciting to do.
Right. That's amazing.
Do you find joining the military so young that it led to an inner character development that helped you later on in life? Because there's so many things that it covers. There's so much discipline and other things that are involved in that. Did you find that really carried over for you?
The discipline, when I hit basic training in Cornwallis, Nova Scotia in 1989, when I was 19, I waited a year to get in because they didn't give me the element I wanted. I didn't want Navy. I didn't want Air Force. I wanted Army, and I wanted to jump out of planes. And I held out for a whole year because as a medic, my eyesight wasn't good enough to be infantry. That's actually what I applied for. And I think back like, man, someone was looking out for me because infantry as a woman is a really hard trade. And actually that was when they first opened up the trade for women. And now I look back and I think being a medic was a better choice because it really was something that I liked to do. It was, I liked to help people. And I drove an ambulance in Croatia for 6 months. And I did IVs, basic trauma, life support, ECGs, CAS, like screening sick parade people. And I really enjoyed that. And I didn't want to really leave the military. But when I met the man of my dreams when I was 23, fast forward 2 years later, I was in Croatia on a 6-month tour. And I remember there was a soldier two soldiers got shot up really bad on a New Year's Eve. And here we are, the siren goes off in the camp and we're all running towards the medical station to man our posts. And these two guys, young guys, they're I think 18 and 21, doing a routine supply run. They were shot at 53 times in a soft covered canvas Jeep. And they actually got out of their Jeep and walked into the medical inspection room, the MIR. And it was unbelievable. One guy was shot 5 times. A bullet went in the back of his helmet, circled around his skull and came out in his face.
Wow.
And we were able to patch them up and send them on their way. But I tell you that adrenaline of living in a camp that is surrounded by gunfire every night and having that siren go off on New Year's Eve, I'll never forget that. And running in and taking care of these two soldiers that were shot up so many times in a soft covered canvas Jeep, like it was unbelievable. But anyway, I fast forward time, the Airborne Regiment, which my husband was part of at the time, was disbanding. I think this was in 1994. And I was just getting back I wasn't getting back from Croatia. They disbanded it before I got back, but they were going to send my husband to Edmonton and they wanted to keep me in Petawawa because I had my parachute wings. They didn't want to let me go. And I said, well, I don't want to be without my husband for 2 years. Like we actually bumped up our wedding so all of our friends can come to our wedding down east in Quebec. And then we were going to be sent to Edmonton. I was not going to be sent. So I put in a 30-day release to go with them. And then at that was kind of the tipping point. Like, what do I do next? Like the military was everything to me. And so going back to the parachute course that I took, that was when I was 23. And when I first met my husband, he was training me to run faster, run up hills and things like that. Cause you've really, as a woman to get on the course, it was very challenging. You had to be able to do 7 full arm chin-ups. You had to do 50 push-ups, full push-ups, not on the knees,
right,
and run a mile in less than 7 minutes. And I remember before you get to the course, you had to pass all these requirements at the gym and get certified to be able to go onto the course. And then the first day of the course, they line up all these guys. I'm the only girl on the course. And there's one colonel, and they really rode him harder than me because officers aren't treated well on a parachute course, nor are females. And all these guys lined up, and they shot a gun in the air, and you had to run as fast as you could to get that 7-minute mile or less. And I'm like looking at all these tall guys that are running way in front of me. And I'm thinking, oh my God, I better run faster because I'm not going to make it. All these guys are in front of me. Not a single time did I look back. But when I crossed the finish line, like tasting blood in my throat, I saw all these guys come in after me. I didn't realize I was so far ahead of so many of the guys because I didn't look behind. I just persevered and friggin' ran my ass off.
What an analogy of life that is.
Beautiful. Yeah, isn't the metaphor.
How we can get so caught up in what's going on around us, or maybe we don't feel like we're good enough or keeping up or catch, and we don't realize how successful we actually are in that moment.
And competing and comparing with others.
Well, really, especially men too.
Right, exactly. And thinking, well, and in life too, looking, well, they're better than me and they have more money or they're more talented or luckier. And we look forward instead of just going the course, like you had this goal and you went for it. It's a beautiful, beautiful example.
It's a great analogy.
Of perseverance. Absolutely. That's incredible. So that must have been a wonderful feeling and just reinforced that perseverance does pay off.
I was so happy because I thought there's no way I can go home on the first day and disappoint myself and my core, like my unit. Like that would have been so embarrassing. So anyway, I get to the course and every morning we're forming up at 4:30 in the morning to run. And they run our butts off. Like, I mean, we're running really fast pace for 5 kilometers or sometimes 10 kilometers. You never knew how long you're running. You just had to keep up. And yeah. The thing is, if you got 3 warnings, they give you a slip of paper. I think it was called the pink slip. And if you got 3 of those, you're off the course. And if you couldn't keep up on the morning runs, or if you couldn't do the same amount of pushups as everybody else, you got a warning, like a little mm-hmm. pink slip. And I didn't get a single one because I was terrified to even get one, because one meant maybe 2 and 2 meant 3 and you were gone.
Yeah.
Right.
And so I didn't get a single slip because I was just so, I was so focused, so committed that I wanted it so bad. And you had to do, I think, 6 jumps, 4 during the day, 2 at night. And on my 4th parachute jump, I collided chutes with another guy. Oh, and what happens is there's a double door and he jumped out one door, I jumped out the other. And the first drill is to look up in the sky and see where the other jumpers are. If there's another jumper ahead of you or above you. And sure enough, there was a guy above me. And that's not a good sign. That's not good ever. That means he'll steal your air. Yeah. And as it turned out, we ended up tangling parachutes. And I looked up at him because he was above me. And I said, oh my God, what are we going to do? And he said in a very calm voice, we're going in together. And I'm thinking, man, how could this guy be so goddamn calm? And as we're floating down to the ground, I'm thinking, I'm only 23. I haven't even married the man of my dreams. I don't have any children. I don't have a family. I don't have anything. Like, I just felt like I hadn't accomplished all the things I wanted to accomplish. And I'm floating through the sky thinking, okay, I got to stay calm. But what was going through my mind as a medic was, if I land with this guy with my snowshoes, my rifle, my 30-pound rucksack, if I land tangled up with another guy, I'm going to bust my back, or I'm going to bust my leg, or I might just die. Like, who knows what might happen, but I had to push all of those fears away and persevere and stay calm and kind of, I guess, enjoy the flight down.
Wow.
But it happened so quick though that, and then miraculously about 25 feet from the ground, his parachute separated from mine and he landed in a separate spot than me. It was like, unbelievable how that happened. Wow. Somebody was looking out for me, I swear. Obviously. And I, the first thing I did after doing the drill, when you do your roll on the ground, it was more like a thud. And it was in March, so there's lots of snow in Edmonton, Alberta, where we were doing the parachute course. And I look over at the guy and I say, hey, are you okay? And he says, yeah. He says, are you okay? I said, yes. And I unleashed my harness and I went over and he unleashed his harness and we ran and we hugged each other.
Wow.
So we thought, oh my God, we are so friggin' lucky.
It's true. And that story of sharing, you know, challenges with others, like even in the workplace or in business, when you've persevered together with someone, the bond you have, it's like very special. And absolutely. I love what you said, enjoy the flight down. Once you push the fears aside and you looked at them and said, okay, this is a situation, you stay curious and kind of look in 30,000 feet view. And then, you know what, push those away and enjoy the flight down. I just think that's a beautiful tip and strategy for people when they're going through something. Identify the fears, recognize them, push them aside, and enjoy the ride.
Well, it's interesting because after that fourth jump, we had to do a night jump right after. So we had to get back onto a bus and go back out to the airfield. And everybody was looking at me because they knew what had happened. And they said, you don't have to do this next jump. I said, I absolutely do. Because if I don't get in that plane, I may not get my jump wings and I may not ever do it again. Like if the fear could take over and I could let that destroy me, or I just need to get up there and do it again. And don't they put me at the first of the ramp? We actually opened up the back of the aircraft where the whole the back is open, you know, when vehicles drive on to a plane. Well, they opened up that ramp and they put me first, and I'm holding on to the static line, and I have one foot in front of the other, and the wind is blowing me and everything. And the instructor says, are you okay, Martin? That was my maiden name at the time. Mm-hmm. And he says, are you okay, Martin? I said, yeah, why? He says, you're shaking like big time. I said, well, hey, it's the wind. I just made up. I probably was shaking because I just had a friggin' parachute collision.
Right.
Right.
And I was the first on the ramp to jump out. But oh my gosh, it was so beautiful jumping at night. It was so peaceful and serene. Mm-hmm. And exhilarating, all of those things that were what in my first three parachute jumps, I said, I really love this. But I think on the fourth one, when I collided parachutes, somebody was saying, don't like this too much because it's dangerous. It is dangerous. Anything can happen.
I love that because the victory after the collision and persevering through, you know, being tangled and enjoying the ride down was that you experienced some peace and serene and being able to continue with the lessons of the perseverance, but to enjoy the next phase. And I just love that so much. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's just
because incredible. The perseverance, it's in connection to an obstacle. I mean, that's what presses us on to you. I hear obstacle after obstacle that you faced, and that perseverance is, and you find that once you've gone through one obstacle and you've persevered, then the other ones seem a little bit easier, or at least, you know, they have less of an impact on you. Did you find that in other areas of your life afterwards?
I think so. I figured once I got my parachute wings and I passed the course and I was very proud of myself, I thought I have life by, I don't want to say the balls, or I have life by what, fill in the word.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just felt like I could do anything.
It's like mm-hmm. life by design because I can do anything. And if I can persevere this, then other obstacles come up. And we've talked to many people on the podcast that have overcome obstacles, and other things come up in life that may devastate people,
right.
But they say, you know what? I overcame that. This is okay. I'm going to be fine. And you had quite an incredible story to pull on in your life. And I know you took that into your business as well,
mm-hmm.
and into your future with your fitness and all of the wonderful things you're doing and coaching people and training. And I'm sure the perseverance continues, and now you can pass on those gifts to the people you work with.
Mm-hmm. Well, at the age of 48, 2.5 years ago, I competed in a bikini on stage for a fitness competition. Not too many people at 48 want to ever do that.
That's incredible.
And I swore after winning the Albertas when I was 26 in a bodybuilding competition that I would never do it again. But I did. And I did it with some friends to support them, to help them compete. And I thought, you know, there's a girl 10 years older than me at the age of 57 doing this. And I've got a girl who's got a one-year-old child doing this, and she's 36 and she's meeting me at the gym at 5 every morning. And we persevered. Like, that was a tough time. Like, the three of us met at the gym at 5 a.m. every morning for almost a year to whittle down our weight, get our body composition where it needed to be to compete on stage. And all of us medaled, and we all felt fantastic.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
We persevered. I'll tell you that, like, competing in that kind of, at that level, you have to measure your food, you have to do nutrient timing, you have to train your butt off. And it's great when you finish and you get those after pictures and that trophy. Not that I did it for the trophy at all. I just did it as a goal. I'm very goal oriented, and to basically do any kind of goal, you have to have perseverance.
Right.
You, first you have to have a goal, and then you have to persevere to meet it, right?
Yeah, that's what I don't know if our listeners are making notes like I am, but one thing that struck me and I put on my note page is that you, through your big goals, then the perseverance showed up. So when your goal is big enough, perseverance is the only option, right? Persistence and perseverance. And I love that you partnered and sort of locked arms with other people to keep going together. But it starts with a goal. So I hope our listeners are hearing that really key message that if you want to persevere and you want to achieve, it's got to start with that goal, and it's got to be big enough that it scares you a little bit, you know, to get you out. If it's a goal that you can think, oh yeah, maybe I'll do that tomorrow, that's not going to get you up at five.
That's a to-do list.
That's a good point. Yeah. Is it a to-do or is it a real goal? So I love that. I love that, Cindy, that you really brought that to light.
I think goals should be meaningful as well. Like when I wanted to retire my husband early, he actually kind of joked around, like, yeah, I said, well, I'm going to have to replace his income to bring him home. And he kind of made a joke like, yeah, like you're going to do that. Like, cause he was making a couple $100,000 as a special operations soldier. And I thought, well, I'm going to show you.
Right. Right.
I'm going to friggin' do it.
Yeah.
And I did, because I said amazing. I would. And he kind of not egged me on, but I'm very competitive. And when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. And I basically replace his income. And it was a great year because we missed so much of our life together with him being in the special operations. He'd be called out in the middle of the night and he'd be gone for 3 or 4 months at a time. And I would have no idea where he was, how long he was going to be gone, or how much danger he was in. And he never could tell me anything either. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, like, well, he missed the birth of our daughter. He didn't get to see her till she was 6 weeks old.
Oh no.
And so I had to put on my big girl panties or my big girl pants and get through that on my own. And my parents weren't there. I was at the other end of the country from where my parents were. And they did drive from Quebec out to Edmonton to be with me, but they missed the first few days. And they were only there for 3 weeks, and I was still alone for the other 3 weeks of this brand new newborn, not knowing really how to be a mom, or am I doing, like, I was paranoid, like, that I was gonna not be a good mom. Like, I think, like, almost every mom and any parent, like, how do I take care of this tiny, tiny little baby and breastfeed every 3 hours? And so it was a lot, and I was pretty emotional because my husband missed the birth of her and didn't get to see her till she was 6 weeks old. So that played in my mind a lot. And so going through the years, I really wanted to retire Darren sooner, and he had 26 full years in. He had a great career, but we realized that if we wanted to have time freedom and live that life by design, we had to retire him so that we could have our own time. And we're actually writing a book together, and it's going to be titled Our Time.
Oh, that's and, what a great
yeah,
title.
So we want to talk about how hard it was, you know, and how we weathered the storm, because more than 50% of couples don't make it in the military, and even in the police force as well. It's a lot of stress to put on a family when you have a spouse that gets pulled away and gone. You can't talk to people about it. Like, I couldn't tell my parents where he was. I didn't even know where he was most of the time. And so you just had to persevere and get it done.
Yeah, that's incredible. And that's going to help so many families, not just military families, but any married couple, and how you do that together, and to really decide. And again, that goal is our time. So what about your time coming up? What's coming up for you? I know the book's coming up, which is super exciting, and we're going to put your contact information in the show notes as well, Cindy, so people can reach out to you. But what's next for you?
Well, it's funny. You guys are the first people I told that we're writing a book, like, publicly. Oh, great. We've been writing it for many years, and Darren actually started many years before me, and we've been putting it on a shelf. And like a podcast, until you make a date to launch, you're not going to do it. And I mean, I learned how to do a podcast in 60 days, and my goal was to do it on February 1st, and I launched 10 episodes on February 1st.
Amazing. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and I just, you know, it's again setting that goal, persevering. It wasn't easy, you know, to get all of the content and learn all of the steps and edit it yourself and all of that, but it's doable. Like it just like yourself, Amory and Mark, like you guys are doing it too.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's something that I look forward to is doing my health podcast, writing a book, and living out the retired life that we anticipated and planned for. And our motto is prepare, live life.
I love that. Prepare and live life. I love that.
That's great.
Yeah, that's incredible. So we've just had, I mean, we could talk for hours, Cindy. I feel like I've known you forever and it's just so great. And I'm sure our listeners are just going to be so blessed by your story today and by the lessons really about setting that big goal, persevering, and all the strategies that you shared with us. So we're so, so grateful to have this conversation, and we look Absolutely. Forward to listening to your podcast and reading your book. And looking forward to hearing about your success as you move forward.
Well, thank you for having me as a guest today. I really enjoyed it. And Excellent. It's always nice reflecting back on memories and, you know, doing things in life that you're proud of and that you can, you know, maybe make a book about it and have your mm-hmm. children pass it on to their children.
Beautiful. That's incredible. And thank you so much for Living Without Limits so you could share your strategies Absolutely. with our guests and listeners, our listeners, I guess. Thank you. Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome. Thank you again.
The Without Limits podcast, where we break through barriers, revealing the keys to living an abundant life. Your hosts have been Mark and Anne Marie.